B-Pod Studios.
This is Szolak and Bertrand.
I think that's sort of low class.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You ever see these guys live?
Oh,
wow.
Okay.
What's Men at Work's second best song?
Overkill.
I don't know that I would know that one without...
You would know it.
...listening to it or looking
day
at it.
Day after day it reappears.
Oh, yep. I do know that one.
You want to know what Amazon job, Music Marty. Says?
What do they say?
I know what they say.
I do know
who
that
can
song.
It, they say it's Overkill. Who Can It Be Now.
Oh, that's a good one.
I love that one. Can it be knocking at my door?
But Overkill is a legit good song.
That's number three.
Don't come around here.
Colin
no
Hayes? Does that sound right?
Yeah.
I think he's been
performing.
Oh, Colin
Sneaky
Hayes,
good
no
group.
S.
Yeah.
Sneaky good group.
This
is okay.
There's an acoustic version of this that floats around. It's just him on a guitar.
Mm. Oh.
And I think he's been touring by himself. Does that sound right?
I do sleep. Think about the implications.
You know this big Beatles, if they covered this? Don't you be too sleep.
Like, big Beatles songs.
Especially at night. All right, after these three hits, these were all hits, right? Where does it go next? That's the kind of stuff we would expect to get from Reese.
Well, I mean, but, you know, Reese, if you didn't see him in person, it means you're not important to him.
Oh, Be Good. I remember this. This is a fun song.
Great
80s beat right there.
This is a credit runner. End of a movie. Credits run.
All right. Well, that's a
what about that defense
for you today?
What'd you make of the defense, Mike?
Thought second half was concerning.
Losing
Lawrence Guy, probably understated, you know, good run defender, but you can't pin it on that.
Still you know? Got Davis, you yeah. still have Barmore, you still have Godshaw.
I'll tell you what stood out to me though on the defense.
It was Godshaw.
I actually thought it was more we talked about wanting him to get faster at linebacker,
yeah.
you know, all off season. And when I watched it over, I thought Mac Wilson, who I thought would be a key guy for them because he's one of those smaller, faster
especially
linebackers.
Game, right.
There were some plays where just like the eyes took him to the wrong place, and I think that opened up a lot of like Lamar's designed runs. And even on that first shovel pass touchdown, you see him come into the backfield and sort of get sucked in by the initial action there. So I thought that one position seemed like it hurt him a little bit.
I could never understand. Like the RPO stuff, like I thought Lamar did a great job of putting the ball in a cavity, you know, in the pocket and pulling it out. Like once they committed, like you mentioned Wilson. So if he's jumping that guy on the back, you know, I pull it out. When do you not clamp out? When do you let it go? Like, why isn't there more balls on the ground?
Yeah.
Like you gotta, it's an art, man.
Yep.
It really is. It's like playing hide and seek. And they did a good job of it. Man, the fullback got going. The play action in the flat was wide open. Whether it was tight end, whether it was a back. Greg Roman did a great job scheming it against
him. And one other thought, guys, I mean, and probably covering the Patriots for 20, all about Bill's tenure here, like the term complementary football always is mentioned, offense, defense, special teams. You know, I thought third quarter, Patriots come down, score a touchdown. They're up 21-20 or 20-14, I should say. And, you know, defense is right there, third and five. It's right there for you. And it's like, that's the play you got to make to complement, you know, the score you just had and take over the game.
Yeah.
They rushed 3-8 in coverage, and it just looked so easy. Lamar Jackson to Duvernay for whatever it was, 21 yards, and the Ravens didn't have another third down. So I thought defensively, they did some good things, you know, a couple turnovers, but not enough to compliment.
But like the Ravens flipped it on that return too. Like you talk about complimentary football, you get to give up another big return like that, Duvernay up that right sideline. It, even as bad as it felt, the offense had the ball twice driving, because I do count the Aguilar strip, because you know he was off and running down inside the 40.
Yep.
When the ball came out,
I thought some.
You're there down five twice in the fourth quarter with the ball in Ravens territory.
Okay. Look, the Ravens deserve to win the game. I'm not making any excuses. No. I thought that was bad luck though on that punt return. I mean, I watched that thing over. You could have easily seen a flag for holding Slater, a flag for blocking. I want to say Cody Davis in the back, a flag for blocking Hunter Henry in the back. That crew, yeah, they just don't throw flags. So what I would have done, like it's
I'll take that.
Easy to
set.
Easy to set, and I'll take it too. I like games where they don't throw flags. But I would say in that case, just know that that's the way the game is being played, and just kick it out of bounds. Don't put yourself in that position.
Let's get to some of your calls. Terry in Connecticut. Hi, Terry.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, John.
I was just calling about it. The division. The Patriots have been dominating the division for so long that I don't think fans realize that those times are over, because even if the Patriots play at their best, the Bills and the Dolphins are the cream of the crop, and they're going to be the cream of the crop for a decade.
All right, let me ask you a question, Terry, to bring it back to this season. Right now, who would you rather be, the 3-0 Dolphins or the 2-1 Bills?
Bills.
3-0 Dolphins.
Okay.
Really?
I disagree with that.
I think Bills. Well, they have their quarterback.
Bills. Yeah.
There's still a question. I know they're 3-0, and I know they've been impressive. Oh,
but Miami has theirs, Hardy. Stats.
Yeah.
Look at the stats.
Yep. Well, when you flip it around and he's throwing right-handed, it does look different.
It looks good.
Did you see that, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's jarring, like how different he looks and how you think about him differently when you just see it flipped like that. Does it look better to you, Zoe?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. It's when you're watching a lefty, you really see the windup. I don't know. It's weird. When you're right, I don't see the windup when he's throwing right. It's
strange.
Pete's in Ohio. Hi, Pete.
Hello, boys. How are you?
Good.
How you been,
what's up, Pete?
Hey, the answer to that one guy's question, I'd rather be the Bills, right? Well, that's not why I called. Hey, Zoe, you made a comment during the game that Baltimore's offense was not afraid of the Pats' defense.
Mm-hmm.
And my point is Belichick losing his mystique when it comes to defensive calls.
No, I don't think that's it. I think if you're Harbaugh and you're at the 50 and you got a 4th-and-3, if I miss it, do I want to give it to Tom Brady? Like, that's the old, like, we don't give Brady a short field. We want to punt it and make Brady drive it 90 yards. We'll do that. It's like the same way Bill used to play things against Peyton Manning. I think Bill went for it on 4th-and-2. I don't want to give the ball back to Peyton.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I mean, well, the answer to that question, how about what, was it Bill or was it Brady? It was a combination of both,
sure,
I believe.
It was a combination, but absolutely.
But Brady wouldn't have got a shot if it wasn't for Bill. But I don't know. I mean,
it's like watch the end of the Tampa game. He's down his top three receivers, his tight end, his center, and his two tackles. And right down the field. I mean, with backups. That's what you fear.
That's all I got, boys. Hey, okay. funny reference to the Jerky Boys and the Scarface stuff. I love it. Keep it up. See you.
All right, Pete.
Of all weeks, and Zoe, you brought that up a couple of times now. It's such a great point. I know they didn't score a ton of points. I know they ultimately fell short, and the running out on the play clock at the end of the Bucs game was unfortunate. But Brady was still doing that without any of his weapons, and you have essentially not.
His guys fumbled three times.
You've made the playoffs once here post-Brady in a game where it looks like you really weren't a playoff team. And there are people who are still willing to say, well, it was both. It was both. And I think we all agree, but it's swinging so much in the direction of it being maybe weighted more toward Brady. Yeah. It just seems an odd week to call in and say that. All this evidence just keeps stacking up. He wins the Super Bowl somewhere else.
Yeah.
He can still be in a game where he doesn't have his receivers. Meanwhile, what have you done without Brady with a couple of different guys, with one rookie, with one veteran? And it's like, okay, I don't think Bill's a bad coach, but if you're calling to make a point about something, well, obviously it's both, and it's still, I just don't think it's the time to do that. I don't think the evidence is in your favor lately. And when I say lately, I mean coming on 3 years now.
Yeah, it's just that in-game feel thing. Like, I just remember calling games where teams would be there, and it'd be a big fourth and two or one, and you'd always look to the sideline, and the quarterback would be happy, come on, let's go. And, like, you'd have to yell to the sideline, the coach, oh, what should I do? There was just, it was nonchalant, like, we're going here. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, Lamar's hands apart, yeah, we're good. Like, but there was no panic. Yeah, it's fourth and two, we're going, let's go. And I'm like, wow, they don't fear you.
Just looking back at the game, guys, I mean, the Patriots forced that turnover on defense early in the fourth quarter. They're down 31-26. Offense gets the ball at the Ravens' 39-yard line. I mean, right there, I'm thinking to myself,
there's your game.
I mean, Patriots, they're at the Ravens' 39 after Jonathan Jones punched it out, right? They get it back.
Right, so it was all the first play of the drive, right?
This is when sitting at Gillette Stadium watching the Patriots getting the ball back late,
that's right,
where, like, instinct for you takes over as a fan, say, oh, we're going to win this game after all.
That's right.
It's just, I think we all felt that watching
Fans were feeling it. I think the place was juiced. It was loud. People were excited. Like, I got up. We were all up in the booth. And then,
It's not the same.
617-779-0985. We've got Mike Reese in studio for one more segment. Stick around.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They bring you insight like no one else can.
Who cares? It was a bad take.
I've got a million of them.
Zola.
That's a twerk.
And Bertrand.
We can make a laundry list of horrible takes.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five. Is this men at work too?
Yes.
Tell you what, Reese. Next time Colin A or men at work come around, that might be one we put on the list.
I think we just missed him.
Ah!
I think he was around this
Where
summer.
Where were you on that?
Where's he at? One socket?
I've been there.
No,
stadium.
I bet he's in a better venue.
Totally.
I bet he's probably like, I don't know, Pavilion? House of Blues, something like that.
In Woonsocket, I saw John Waite. Very good. Yeah. He's coming around in a couple months up in Concord, New Hampshire. Maybe we'll have
very good Chinese restaurant that I think it's Chan's downtown.
All right.
You gotta try that next time you're down there. Really good.
Come with me.
They have good wiener place down there too.
Jeez.
Like the Chinese. New York system. Stinky good food in Woonsocket down there. Couple good places. Yeah.
Bob's in Maine today.
Dollar oysters on Thursday.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Good, Bob.
How are you?
I'm good.
What are you doing up there?
I'm leaving for Florida in 2 weeks.
That's good.
I go down to Vero Beach.
Oh, I like it there.
The problem is I can't get the Patriots all the time, so I have to go to a bar to watch it. If
What's
I want to see them on TV. That's okay. All right.
That's all right.
Okay, my question is, Juwan Bentley, I watched the game. He got pancaked on one play that Jackson ran right up the middle. He can't cover anybody in pass coverage. And I look at other linebackers in the league, and he might be the worst one playing.
I'd bring
Hightower back. Or Collins.
I think the guy that you saw get pancaked was Judon. Judon got hit in the middle, and sometimes I have a tough time calling the game. It's because sometimes I see eight, sometimes I think I see nine, you know, and that's the tough part when a guy wears single digits instead of the 50s or the 90s, you know, deciphering which guy it is. But I remember watching a replay. I thought it was Bentley. It was Judon. I think that got his foot up under him, and boom, someone got him pretty good. right in the middle. It was on a Lamar run.
And I think the point on Bentley, why they like him, is he's got the dot on his helmet. He's leading the huddle. He's smart. He knows the defense. So start with that. I actually thought prior to the second half of this last game, he had actually surprised me because he's doing some, I see, different things than we've seen him in the past. He's almost doing the Hightower role where he comes down and plays on the edge.
Yep.
And I actually think that's almost better. I don't want to say better.
Get him out of the middle to run.
Get him out of the middle where, to Bob's point, he struggles a little bit in coverage at times.
Of course he does.
And so get him on the line of scrimmage. And so second half was ugly, I think, for a lot of defensive players. I actually thought Bentley was one player who's actually surprised me a little bit just based on how they've used him, and I thought it looked fairly good up to that point.
And the Patriots put him out, I think, as first player to the podium in postgame. Yeah.
Captain. And but to Bob's point, like, I thought on that key third down play where right after they had scored at the start of the third quarter, third and five, they rushed three, and he was sort of that in-between guy. And he got, you know, is he coming? Is he dropping out? And he sort of got caught right in the middle where he wasn't either. And that was part of what, to me, when I want, you know, looked like a bad play for the defense.
Paulie's in the truck. Paulie.
Hey, what's happening, guys? Listen, Mike, basically this thing breaks down to the game falling on the receivers. The two guys, I got in mind. Apaka quitting on that route on a cover four. Knowing that ball was right there, 50-50 ball, probably would have gone up and taken away from that guy. It was much shorter than he is. He had the position. He would have been in front of him, probably would have come down with it. And then Nelson Aguilar running like with that ball like a loaf of bread down the field. He should have had that in his head. Instead of swinging that thing back and forth, he's running down the field just, we're asking for somebody to come up behind him and strip him that football. That's what cost us the game. God bless Mac Jones.
Yeah, Paulie, I think it's fair on Aguilar. I was talking with the receivers coach, Ross Douglas, today, who coaches them alongside Troy Brown.
It's two times in three weeks. One out.
Just careless ball security. And that highlights, you know, the greater point. I mean, that's like what losing teams do. You know, like they're -4 in the turnover differential, ranks 29th in the league. They've given the ball away 8 times. Only the Saints have given away more at 9. I mean, it's not that complicated.
We don't take it away.
Guys.
Yeah, we don't take it away much.
I mean, don't stop giving it away and start taking it away more. And, like, I think the results will improve. And I would just say on that end zone play, that's always a tough one as a reporter. Like, is that on Parker? Is that on Mac? Good pressure from the Ravens sort of sped up his clock a little bit.
Everything is expedited down there. You got to make quick decisions, and everybody's got to be on the same page. One guy blows it, it's the whole play goes to F.
When you watch that, I mean, obviously, you put it on Parker.
Yes, because the way he didn't even really run a route, he kind of came down and was stalking the safety, and like Humphrey goes,
he must have not thought he was going to get the ball. It had to be
It's almost like he took the playoff.
Like, what happened? He just, when you say he faded,
They're an all-out blitz.
He just faded out there. Like, he did. He sort of gave up on the play.
Two guys are coming free right up the middle.
So
off the edge.
Is it unrealistic, and I ask you because you played the position, that Mac just shouldn't throw that ball? Like, just throw it out of bounds? Like, is that an unrealistic thought?
No, it's not.
Watching the game?
I don't think it is 2 weeks ago, but, like, then I go back to what we discussed on the Bourne play with Parker. Like, yeah, Sunday was Parker's day. Pittsburgh, it was Aguilar's day. Like, so maybe next time Mac has that matchup with Aguilar, you know, I'm going to put it up to him because he went and climbed the guy's back and scored for me. Parker was phenomenal on Sunday, catching the ball, toe-tapping it. Okay, here we are. We're down inside the, 40? I got a blitz look. Parker even said at the podium, like, yeah, we had it loaded. We reloaded it, made a check. There was a miscommunication. Somebody didn't get it. And leave it at that. Like, he didn't take the blame. You know, and I think that's what you do. Nobody puts the blame on anybody. It's just called a miscommunication. That's standard operating procedure. But, like, given the way the day went, I'd take the shot. Maybe if it's Miami and Xavier Howard, maybe I throw that one away. But the problem is, 4 interceptions have gone Parker's way. So, there aren't many throws to him. But, you know, when you got, 25% of throws his way getting picked, there's a problem there. So,
good.
I do think that's a coincidence, though. I don't read that much into it. Like, oh, this guy makes you turn the ball over.
Chuck in Andover. Hi, Chuck.
Chuck.
I just wanted to say on this, is it the coach or is it the players? You know, it's a brutal, violent, and fast game. And in the end, it's the players on the field that play. And the great ones are the ones that win. And if you think of the greatest teams, like, of all time, it's usually a great coach and a great team with a lot of great players. And I remember when Rodney Harrison and the big tackle there from Georgia that was great, who just was inducted into, I'm drawing
Seymour.
A blank on his name.
Richard Seymour.
Yeah, when they spoke, oftentimes when it was talked about how great the coach was, they would always say, yeah, and we got a lot of really, really good players too, including Tom Brady. In other words, it seemed to annoy them that it was implied that it was the coach more than the players. Even on the best of best teams with the greatest coaches, it's the players.
So I look at it this way, guys, and Chuck, I love the point because it was something I wanted to mention. One comparison I'm making, and I don't know if you guys think it's fair, but Mac Jones' second year, we all expect a jump, right? Trevor Lawrence, Jacksonville, is in a similar situation. Second year quarterback, first round pick. Trevor Lawrence had a really tough rookie season. He's in a new system with a new coach. Mac Jones, same situation, new system, right? The difference that we see in Trevor Lawrence is pretty significant right now, yeah, in his second year. He's trending in the right direction. Mac right now, when we look at him, is not trending in the right direction. And I don't think that's unfair to say. And I think you got to ask why, right? And so I think it's never just about the players. It's never just about the coaching. It's the marriage between the two.
Right.
And it looks like they got something good, though, in Jacksonville for their young quarterback. And I think
you got better coaching. Like, he's in a better situation because of the coaching. Now, I do think, like, the one consistent that at least Mac has here is Bill. And I think he totally trusts Bill. But I'm sure there are times where, you know, you've heard the whispers of guys questioning, why are we doing this way?
That's normal.
Work so well with Josh, and now all of a sudden things are different. It's normal.
I think that's human nature. And it's only three. I mean, it is 3 weeks into the season. Nothing's a finished product, so you got to give it time. But I would just say, snapshot in time, what we're looking at, like, I feel like that is a fair question to ask.
The way he played on Sunday, and I thought Mac, you know, besides interceptions, I thought he played well. Like, I thought he seen the field well. The ball was moving well. He popped. That should have been Week 2, August. Problem is we're in week 3, week 4, September. Yeah.
All right, Mike. Appreciate you being here, as
good
always.
Stuff, Reese. Thanks, guys. Always
weird,
great.
Weird week, obviously, with an injury to the quarterback, but they're going to Green Bay Sunday either way. We'll be talking to you on Sunday during pregame.
Sounds great.
Mike Reese of ESPN in studio. Hardy has headlines. We're back with more on Mac Jones. That's next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak. I digress. That tastes different in Florida.
Bertrand. I got no brother chili.
Zolak and Bertrand. 95 Sports Hub.
Really, the choices here for Mac Jones are rehabbing from this injury, which I'm told is his preference, or potentially undergoing surgery, most likely the tightrope surgery that Tua Tagovailoa had back in college. Other players have undergone it. Generally speaking, players want to avoid surgery when they can. This is also a player, Mac Jones, who really has not dealt with this type of injury or any type of injury in the past. He said it in that same press conference, the only other major injury he's had.
Excuse the harsh cut there at the end of that sound clip. We just grabbed that from NFL Network. Tom Pelissero of NFL Network saying that the choice for Mac Jones is rehab or surgery, but his preference is the rehab. That's what he wants. And if you read through the lines, if you were reading between the lines and piecing together the reports this morning, as we did right off the top of the show, you would probably get that sense that Pelissero's report in the beginning of all this was from the Mac Jones side of things. And now he's out there telling it is. And the surgery is not what he's looking for. It would be the tightrope surgery that Tua had back in college. More on that in a minute. Also, Mike Garofalo was part of the panel on NFL Network. This was just minutes ago.
Yeah.
And he's got something along those same lines. If we have that, do we?
Expectation I've got is that there won't be surgery right now, or at least that was the hope as of yesterday, and that some rehab and some rest, he'll get back right eventually. There could also be a PRP injection, the platelet-rich plasma, where they spin the blood and inject it back in. That supposedly will help with the healing. The thought is that that would help with the healing. So you'll probably see that course of action from Mac.
He probably called QC Kinetics, 617-644-PAIN. That's what they do.
He'll get back right eventually.
Schefter's tweet today had the wording of most players would go for the surgery. That was the one part that stood out of Schefter's tweet to me today that was different. You mentioned the wording. Like, it's interesting how, you know, the wording's different. It's funny how, you know, Schefter's like, well, yeah, most players would get the surgery here. So where's that coming from, you know?
It's got to be Mac Jones. Most players have surgery, but I don't want it. And no, I doubt that's the case. I mean, come on, it's Adam Schefter. We don't even have to think about that. And we know where he's getting it from. Let me tell you, though, this surgery, you read more and more about it. It works really well. It does. The tightrope surgery. But again, it's surgery. And as you heard Pelissero say, no player wants to have surgery if they can avoid it. And from my, you know, my opinion of that would be, if I were a player, I'd be like, if the timeline is only a matter of weeks, that the healing is improved by weeks, then I'm not sure that I would do it. Tua did it twice in college. Oof. High ankle sprain, December 1st, 2018. Thank you, Neil Collins, for all the research on it. Days counted, all of it. Tua suffered ankle sprain in the SEC championship game against Georgia on December 1st of 18, had surgery. Surgery to next game that he played in, 25 days. How about that? He had exited the game and went for the tightrope surgery the next morning. It was the next morning after that game.
Time's of the essence.
December 1st, he got hurt. He was having surgery December 2nd. 12 days after surgery, he made a return to practice.
He probably did it in Alabama.
25 days later, he was playing in a game.
That's unbelievable. Did it
in Alabama locker room. Like, unbelievable. Get your foot up.
And then guess what? Less than a year later, October of 19, Tua suffered a high ankle sprain in the other ankle. Surgery date to his next appearance in a game, 19 days.
Tough SOB.
He was hurt on October 20th, and you know what he did? Had the surgery the very next day. He was back in time for Alabama's November 9th game of 2019 against LSU.
His brother's nicked up in Maryland,
so,
too.
If you're the Patriots and you know that, you're like, go for the surgery. It's quick.
3 weeks.
You'll be back in no time. You'll feel better. You'll heal up.
Well, tomorrow's Wednesday already, pal.
The player's going to say, for what? To come back and to keep forcing the ball to Devontae Parker? No, I'm worried about me. I'm worried about being right going forward. I don't want to get cut open. I don't want to risk anything that comes along with surgery. I mean, I think nowadays we just say, oh, surgery, no big deal, right? Well, it's still surgery. There are still risks that are involved there, as minor as they may be. And he may hate that idea for getting back 3 weeks sooner or whatever that timeline might be. I'm just throwing out numbers. Don't take that. I'm not a doctor. I only try to play one from time to time.
I mean, there is that hurdle to get over, which is just our baseline thinking, at least mine is, like, sprain doesn't require surgery. What's there to surge? You know, it's a sprain.
It will heal if I just wait.
Right. It's not a break. It's not a tear. It's not a what? It's a sprain, you know. So why would I have surgery on it? Well, you would have surgery. You'd be able to get out there quicker. I was thinking just the opposite, and I'm sure that would be the baseline assumption that surgery means a longer recovery. But if you're just trying to get a high ankle sprain better on its own, and if it's a severe high ankle sprain, how long could it be? 5, 6 weeks?
The tightrope surgery makes sense because what it does, eliminates that tweaking that I keep talking about. From my experience, all you have to do is touch the tip of that toe, and I didn't have the surgery, and all that ball does, and you have no stability in your ankle, and you feel every nerve ending, like, in there, that, oh, God, you feel between your leg bones, and it is painful. This is not like rolling your ankle on a curb or a basketball game or stepping on someone's foot. This is trauma of the ball joint being forced between your leg bones and tearing everything in that lower leg between the bones. And it just squeezed, that tightrope just squeezes those bones together and prevents that ball from pushing back up probably, and that's what speeds your recovery. And you got to make sure he's right, though, too. You can't have him come back like, and it's 70%, he's sore, and he gets rolled up. That sucks. It's a delicate line here that they're walking, because you can't tell the guy you have to get it done. You probably want him to get it done. You don't know how he feels. He knows how he feels. I'm sure there's concerns for him moving forward here. He's in year two. I mean, it's, all this stuff's considered, and it takes time to make these decisions. Like, Alabama knew they didn't have games. And when Tua did it, that SEC title game, okay, we're not playing again until national title game. We don't have the pressure to have to get you ready, you know, but, hey, man, we got a shot here in a window for 3 weeks. Get this done. Here's a chance you could play.
So I thought this was interesting, reading from Doc Flynn on Twitter, at Doc Flynn NFL.
Yeah.
And she writes, on Patriots quarterback Mac Jones, there are reports of severe high ankle sprain. Video agrees, but it could be other injuries, right? This is not someone who's trying to diagnose Mac Jones on a video, which I know you hate, right?
This is just putting
this all in context. Surgery is usually indicated, and then she stars this, when the ankle is unstable. That's the time to do surgery, when the ankle is not stable as a result of the injury. Number three, tightrope procedure can speed recovery, and then she puts this in stars again, in cases that need surgery. As in, you don't just choose the surgery because it can enhance the healing or heal faster.
It
needs to be a set of circumstances where a doctor would look at the ankle and say, well, this is going to require surgery because your ankle is unstable,
right,
and it's not going to heal without the surgery, or not going to heal properly, or, you know, you should have the surgery. It's not like, oh,
you need it versus
bad high ankles. Right.
You know, if you break your wrist, you have the opportunity, like, we could cast it up, or, like, when I broke my finger, it shattered the tip of my knuckle here, but it was on a growth plate. And one doctor, I went to a local hospital, and they said, yeah, we'll cast it up for 4 to 6 weeks, you'll be all right. I went in and saw the University of Pittsburgh orthopedic surgeon. He goes, it's on a growth plate. We're going to operate in the next 4 hours on you. Parents of me were freaked out by it, and this is when I was in high school. He said, yeah, because your finger's going to point that way. You're going to have Baldinger or Pete Carroll finger. Do you want that? Because you're on a growth plate. We have to operate. They put the pins in, boom, they take them out, you're fine. But had to have that done. Now, if they look at it, like Trey Lance the other day or the other week, his ankle's pointing the other direction. I don't think he had stability in that ankle. Plus, he fractured one of the bones on the lower leg, so he had to go for surgery that next day. Gordon Hayward, that was gruesome.
So when you
ankle
had yours,
is not stable.
When you had yours,
yeah,
was there a consideration for, like,
I never had this. There was never advances like that. I mean,
I know there was an advance.
91, you know?
But they still could have put a screw in the old fashioned way.
Sure. Yeah.
Did they do an MRI and say, oh, you know, we got to make sure it's not anything more severe that needs something like that?
No, they did the MRI, they did the x-rays and all that. The problem was I had 2 games left in the year, and like, you're going on IR anyway, so you let this thing heal in the offseason. And like, I didn't...
So there would be no advantage.
There's still no pressure to play and get ready, but still, it took me a good 3 to 4 months till I'm feeling normal.
Was that the year you went to the Christmas party on crutches?
Yep, left, not on crutches. With no boot.
It was impressive. That meeting with Coach Mack the next day.
And what did he used to say about you?
You enjoy the first, you sip the second, you refuse the third. Somewhere you always got messed up between 2 and 3 and went back to 1. That's your problem.
But that's advice that you've followed, you know, to this day, right?
Thank God he had that.
Enjoy the first, you sip the second, and then you refuse the third.
Yep.
Scott Zolak, two drinks.
Because you already skipped
maximum.
To the fourth.
Other people have a two-drink minimum. It's Zoe is a two-drink maximum.
You mess up on a math problem, what do? You erase it and start over. Right? Numbers didn't match up.
All right, then. Yeah. Today's takeaways are coming up next on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Getting to the bottom of the story in the middle of the day.
Former chapter head of the Turkey Association.
Hello, Walter.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub. They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, today's takeaway is brought to you by Waco 180 Weight Loss. Everybody is different because every body is different. Learn how your body reacts to foods and let a Waco 180 help yours lose the weight starting your very first week. What do we have today?
I wasn't listening myself yesterday, but I know you were, and you thoroughly enjoyed the Mac Jones press conference.
On Felger and Mass.
On Felger and Mass. So today we were talking about the Mac Jones press conference. I'm sure Felger and Mass will have more on the latest reporting on that, which just happened on NFL Network. But someone called in and agreed that the press conference was not all that helpful in gaining clarity, and that maybe we should all boycott the Patriots in general. Charlie's in the car. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, you know what? The press should collectively boycott all those press conferences going forward for the next week or two. Let's see how Bob Kraft likes that, right? And
Coach,
you know
love
what?
It.
Maybe you guys should even stop talking about the Patriots. For
what do you want to talk about? What do you want to talk about?
Well, what do you mean? What do I want to talk about?
No, I mean, we just stop talking Pats. Like, what do you want to do? What do you want
to stop talking Pats. Talk Red Sox. Talk Celtics. Talk Bruins.
That was a good series against the Yankees there. They've
lost
six straight.
But you know what, though? Yeah. That's what it's going to take. Mm. It's going to take something like that for that team to start to recognize that the disrespect that he's showing to not only the press but to the fans as well, it has to stop. It's ridiculous. And you guys just let it happen week after week after week. And until someone stands up to him in a way like that, things are never going to change.
I don't disagree with that. We're enablers.
For sure.
Yep, we're part of
awesome.
The problem.
Thanks.
All right. So I don't know that we're going to do that. I don't know that we're going to boycott talking about the Patriots. I think it will continue.
Yeah, well, actually, tomorrow we like to talk about things that are ongoing. Red Sox, they're not going to make the playoffs. You mentioned the Revolution, not going to make
the
playoffs.
Wait a minute. Red Sox have a golden ticket night coming up, like the Michael Scott thing, if you find a golden ticket under your seat.
When was it?
Was that last night?
Is it? Aren't they doing it through the rest of the
season? Oh, maybe. I did see that attendance will, by the time the season is over, attendance is expected to be down 8 to 10% from 2019.
From 2020.
Pre-pandemic. 2020. No, before 2020. 2019. And I did not realize this, but this year also had the lowest attended game in the history of John Henry's ownership. I was not aware of that.
Do you know what game it was?
I don't. It was Bill Koch. Channel 25, I think it was that it was who tweeted that out.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know that he knows the game or what game it was, but just look up the lowest attended game this year. You get your answer.
Was it Friday night because so many people had to stay behind and help Milliken through his ongoing alcohol poisoning?
That may have been it. That could have been it. By the way, in terms of talking about the Patriots tomorrow, we'll be doing more of that. We'll also welcome in Patriot Nation's favorite investigative journalist, Seth Wickersham.
Ooh.
Will join us on the show tomorrow. Yep. I wonder what he's got. I know he's got the book coming out in paperback. But
somebody on Fred and Rich brought up a good point about that golden ticket. what's preventing you from going into the ballpark as soon as it opens and just like checking every seat around you to see if there's a golden ticket or anything?
Probably nothing.
I would require you to get
not
in
only
the ballpark.
That, the seats, I don't know if you know, but in a lot of stadiums, the seats are folded up before the game starts. So
yeah, you're right.
Putting them under the seats. You know what I would look for? I would look for the seats that are folded down with no one sitting in them. Like, there's the ticket.
What section Tom Werner's in with the top hat and the cane?
Felger Mazur next. Have a great afternoon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's Boston's most listened to afternoon radio program. Felger and Mass.
You need a little bit of fat in there for flavor.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mike, what are you hearing about this Mac Jones injury, and where do you think we're going from here with the quarterback position in New England?
So I think the next decision, guys, is just whether he's going to have the surgery, right? And so we know that he's got the severe high ankle sprain, and I think just trying to get all the information that he feels like he can make the best decision for himself, and that'll be the next step. And if it happens, I would think it happens pretty quickly. And then it's just a matter of, you know, how when he could come back. I've been listening to you, Zoe. Sort of operating on the assumption that, you know, they're looking at multiple weeks here without
him. Oh, yeah.
Mike Reese on earlier with the Midday Show with the latest on Mac Jones. Catch Reese every Tuesdays with Zolak and Bertrand. We're joined by our own in-studio guest, Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. It's a big boy Tuesday, Maz.
Yes, indeed.
It's a big boy Tuesday, Greg. How you doing?
Good. What's up, fellas?
Nothing much. We'll start with the Mac Jones stuff and reporting from, our very own Jimmy Stewart, who I believe sent this out on Twitter last night, certainly sent it to us in a text. And it reads simply, the Patriots and Mac Jones are at a disagreement about how to move forward. Patriots want to get him back as soon as possible, and he's hesitant to their guidance and wants to proceed with caution. Second opinion. Pat's timeline is 4 weeks max. He's comfortable waiting 6 to 8 if needed.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.